You know, the past couple of weekends, I have been going to Saturday Vigil Mass. So that counts as Sunday Mass. It's just the day before, and it's typically 4 o'clock or after. So some of you may go to the Saturday morning Mass. That does not count for the Sunday obligation. Just a heads up on that. Yesterday, I went to the Saturday morning Mass, had breakfast with a dear friend who's 89 years old. Adorable. What a life she has had. She wrote a book about it. And then I went and I gave blood. I've never given blood with the exception of when I have my health exam every year to see where my numbers are at. So it was kind of scary. And I don't do needles well. I didn't know how long it took, and I certainly didn't know they were going to take a pint out of me. But the priest said, "Hey, what a beautiful sacrifice for Lent. A blood sacrifice for Lent." And then I thought about how much blood my dad received when he was in the hospital for 2 months. How many platelets he received. By the way, giving blood that pint probably takes about 10 to 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour depending on the line. But platelets, it's a smaller needle, but it takes about 2 hours. So just sharing all this information for you so that maybe in your heart, you might want to help others. Because I know that my dad had a lot of blood. So I want to thank anyone out there who donates blood because I know that you helped my father. Even though he passed away on Christmas Day, still, your blood kept him alive for 2 months. And guess what? I was very nervous, so I turned my head. I could not look at the needle going into my arm. And lo and behold, there was a picture of Jesus with the crown of thorns, with blood dripping down. And I just looked at him and I said, "Jesus, how much blood did you shed for your love of me? How much did you suffer pain for love? You knew what was coming. You told your father in angst in the Garden of Gethsemane as you were on your knees sweating blood again. When you sweat blood, that's a real biological thing. It is because you are so stressed out and so worried and so concerned, as he was, knowing what he was walking into. You have to remember that Jesus is man and the divine God. So he knows our nature. He feels what we feel. So hence why he said to the Lord God the Father, 'Please take this cup from me, but only if it's your will.'" So if you've seen The Passion of the Christ, and I recommend everybody watch that during Lent, I watched it with my brother, and I did a lot of commentary along the way because I wanted him to know what was happening and why all of this was happening and who the Jews and the Pharisees were who were trying to take him down, because not a lot of people know the Bible or truly even know why Jesus died for us. And I'm saying this because that was me. I didn't know three very important things. Number one, that Jesus was God. He wasn't just God's son. Number two, why he died for us. I didn't know that all of that abuse and the scourging and the crowning of thorns and him carrying that cross and the hardest wound or the most intense wound that he had was on his shoulder, carrying that cross. And then when he finally gets there, by the way, he falls 3 times, has to have Simon of Cyrene help him carry the cross, and then dislocates his shoulder, has his hands and feet nailed with huge nails that pretty much hold together railroad ties, and then hangs on this cross, suffocating for 3 long hours. And through that movie, Satan creeps around. Oh gosh, the picture of him. And I know if you've seen it, you can see his face. Oh, there is no way that one man can take all the sins, past, present, and future, on himself for humanity. No way. But that's what Jesus did. And I know sometimes we can hear things in the gospel, and maybe we're sitting at Mass, and we just think, oh yeah, I know this one. And we tune out. And today, if you had the long reading at Mass, you may have done just that and tuned out because you know this story. But every single time we hear the Word of God, we read the Word of God, we all hear something different. So the Gospels that I read 10 years ago are completely different messages to me today. So do yourself a favor and make sure that you pay attention to the readings, even though, and especially if, you already know them. So guess what we're going to do today? We are going to sit with the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 1 through 45. Now I'm going to jump in and commentate through this because I really want you to reflect and think about what Jesus did here. And everyone needs to reflect again that the Bible is the most scrutinized book on the face of this earth, and that it truly was written by the Holy Spirit through man. And there are some books that didn't make it because they weren't quote unquote inspired by the Holy Spirit. I know that there are a lot of people out there who are wondering, is the Bible real? Did they tweak it? There are evil people out there, but the purpose of why there are names and kings and rulers and locations and places is because it's a historical, factual book. And when Jesus brings somebody back to life from death, you better believe that there's some details in here. And what I want us to think about is the divine nature of God and also his human nature. He feels what we feel. He felt what we felt. He knows the problems that we have to turn away from this world and to be holy people and to be called out of it. He understands the seduction by the evil one. He truly does. Okay, here we go. Have a seat, close your eyes, and let this wash over you. Now, a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. So this goes back to a story where Jesus went to a dinner and Mary was washing his feet with his hair, anointing his feet with perfumed oil, which is very, very, very expensive. Basically showing to everyone, all the Jews and the Pharisees and the high priest that may have been in this guy's house, that this is the Messiah. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. So let's think about this. Even though we heard that Lazarus was ill, he said, "You know what? I'm going to stay where I'm at," which is far away from where Lazarus was, "for 2 more days. That's important because we'll get there. I don't want to jump. Then, after he said this to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. Let us go back to Judea, says Jesus. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. He said this, and then told them, Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him. So the disciples said to him, Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved. But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So this is kind of key here. Jesus was talking about Lazarus dying. That is why he stayed away an extra couple of days, so that he was dead when he came back. So then Jesus said to them clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Thomas, called the Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go to die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Remember, 2 days he stayed, just to make sure that he was good and dead. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. So Martha still doesn't really understand what Jesus is about to do to her brother, bring him back to life. But she has belief that he will come back on the last day, which is beautiful. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, The teacher is here, and he is asking for you. As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Sir, come and see. And Jesus wept. This is the human nature of Jesus. He loves Nazareth. He loves Lazarus. And he is sad too. He is feeling all of the emotions that all of these others are feeling. And so the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again. Let's think about that word perturbed. It's been twice that he said that. that the Bible is saying this. Perturbed mean he has an uneasy feeling. He's unsettled. So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Didn't he go into a cave with a stone laying across it as well for his burial? Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Again, Jesus stayed away for an extra 2 days to be sure that everyone knew that Lazarus was dead, if not decaying in that cave. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Okay, I'm going to read that again. Sorry, everyone. I was looking away and my eyes lost track. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been in there for 4 days. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. He was buried in burial cloths, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. This is also how Jesus was buried. This was how they did this as part of the Jewish practice. So, God raises Lazarus from the dead. So too will we, in his name, do amazing things like this. Peter, after Jesus was ascended into heaven, healed Tabitha. She was dead and brought her back to life in Jesus' name. I'm not saying I could bring my father back to life or my husband back to life. That's not where I'm going here. What I'm really trying to get to is us to believe. To believe that when we die, when our loved ones pass, that if they believed in Jesus and tried to live a virtuous life, tried to do their best to live by the commandments of God, even if they weren't perfect, that there is mercy, that Jesus weeps for us. He loves us so much. This is why I want us to pray with love, to turn toward Mary and our guardian angel and Jesus and our Holy Spirit and God the Father, the Holy Trinity, and all the holy angels and saints and any saints that you have specific devotions to. And let's not forget those souls in purgatory that we're praying for, who also can pray for us. They cannot pray for themselves, but they can pray for us. That we have a holy army of people who want us to be in heaven. So let's ask Mary to give us more love for Jesus, and Jesus to give us more love for Mary. And when we hear the Gospels or any readings that we've heard before, that we tune in and say, "Lord, what is it that you want to tell me today?" The word perturbed struck me. It was in there twice. I went and looked it up. These are the things that help us grow in the Word. The Word of God, the Bible, is living and breathing. And some of you may not be reading the Bible, or you have no idea what the Bible is about. And hey, guess what? That was me. And I still don't know many of the Old Testament books like I should. But there are great resources out there for you. There is Father Mike Schmidt's Bible in a Year. You can get that on any podcast that you listen to for free. And it starts from the very beginning. So I know a lot of you are in your car, a lot of you have windshield time, or maybe you even have time that you can sit or listen while you're multitasking. This is something that you don't necessarily have to do. Sitting down, you can plug the Bible in your ears and learn. And then when you hear these stories and you hear the Gospels and you hear the Psalms, you know where they come from, and you know the background, and it takes time. So let's give that time to God, especially today on the Lord's Day, that we sit and reflect. Maybe you want to go back and read because I botched it so badly. Sorry about that. But when you're reading it, it's long and it's on my computer, and I just accidentally scrolled up too far and I lost my total place. But that's what you need to listen to, is God speaking to you, because God may not be saying the same things to you that he did to me. So I highly recommend every time you go to Mass that you read the readings first. This should be a daily practice. And you watch for words that jump out. You watch for themes. Maybe it's a theme of the whole entire reading, or maybe there's a verse or two that stick at you, right? That they, it jumps out at you, or you take note to that particular verse. So allow God to put it in your heart. So say, Lord, what are you asking me or telling me in this one verse? I don't get it. Read it over and over and over again and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart to hear what God is saying to you. And then when you go to Mass, you can hear the homily from the priest, which may be totally different. And I remember in the early stages, I never read the readings before I went to Mass. And I allowed the priest teach me through his homily. And that's great. A lot of you have great priests out there who do just that. But then as we get a little older in our journey, we start to read on our own. Because that is when God specifically talks to us. Yes, he can talk to us through our priest. There's no doubt about that. But we need to learn his voice in our prayer time. And that, my dear friends, is what it's all about. So spend a little time with his word. Maybe you go back and read this Bible verse again, because we are approaching Holy Week, not this week, but next week. And there's messages that should be coming through. And by the way, you don't get the same readings on Saturday. You don't get the same readings as Sunday. So that's why I'm going back to Sunday. I just love Sunday Mass. Why? Because it truly roots me in the Lord's Day. Even though prayer this morning, I will tell you, was beautiful, I did not want to get up. My eyes were super heavy. I just wanted to roll over. I had a great night's sleep. There's nothing that would have prevented me from getting up. It'd be different if I only had a couple of hours, but no, I have been sleeping like a baby, and I'm so grateful for that. But my body just wanted to stay in the bed, but I immediately did my heroic minute. I kissed my crucifix, I prayed the Angelus, and then I continued to pray all my other devotions, which are about an hour worth of prayers. Our Sorrowful Mother's Novena, all 9 days, the Litany of Our Blessed Mother, the Litany of the Holy Name of Jesus. There's a few others that I don't have right now because they're all on my YouTube channel saved for me because I pray together on video, if you will. The Chaplet of St. Michael is another one. And Ave Maria Stella, a few others. So yes, it is a packed morning, and that is before I even look at the readings and, of course, my rosary. By the way, if you have not watched my video on YouTube about the rosary and the beautiful 15 promises and some of the things in the secrets of the rosary, please do, because I believe it may poke you and prod you to pray the rosary more reverently. So this morning, on my knees, scrolling through all of the people that I'm praying for who have reached out to me, I am so grateful for God changing my heart about prayer and how important it is to pray for other people. Prayer is powerful. And there is something so love thy neighbor, praying for those who have passed and praying for those who are still here on earth. Ah, it's absolutely incredible. Okay, I could talk all day here, but I know I'm going to let you get back to your day. You don't have all day with me. Just remember it's the Lord's day. Do something to offer yourself up to Him and love everyone that is in your life like Jesus loves you. Remember His passion, all the blood He shed for you. For the love of you, not because He had to. And that's the beautiful thing of the Passion of the Cross. They show Him hugging and loving the cross. So much so that the evil thief was like, "What are you doing? Hugging your cross? You know, who are you?" Well, that would be God and His love for us. And let's not forget it. We're wrapping up the Lenten season, and we really, really, really need to contemplate on the Passion of Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane through to His crucifixion. All right, everyone, I love you all so, 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 so much. Find something more with God, that peace, that love, that joy, and that reverence. And have a blessed and inspired day.